The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a really good show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we're going to be speaking with Rabbi Eliyahu Kim from Los Angeles, who's coming to town, and he's going to be talking about Judaism and astrology, of all things. I always wanted to talk about astronomy on the show here, but just never had an opportunity. So then let's see what else we got. It is the portion of the week. Is Bamidbar, and that's what we'll be reading in the synagogue on Saturday. The Saturday night is Shavuos, and I won't be talking here, but I'll be playing music next week for those people who can listen in. So we'll be talking about the holiday, upcoming holiday of Shavuos. We're playing a cappella last week of a cappella music. It is also, there will be a wonderful Hasidic story. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's new coalition government was approved and sworn in on Thursday. The Likud government holds a 61-59 majority in Knesset, the bare minimum. Don't expect his government to last too long with a majority like that. Four 16-year-old boys were wounded when a Palestinian Arab motorist ran over them at a bus stop south of Jerusalem. Three of the victims are in light to moderate condition. The fourth is in serious condition. The attacker was arrested. This is the same bus stop where three yeshiva students were kidnapped last year. 50 people, mostly women and children, were wounded in a Palestinian terrorist training camp. The cause of the explosion has not yet been revealed. At least 21 Palestinians were injured as they rioted in Shechem following the pilgrimage of over 4,000 people to Joseph's tomb. IDF soldiers used rubber bullets to disperse the rioters. An Israeli military court dealing with terrorists who are freed in the Gilad Shalit deal and later rearrested, they have a whole court just for that, sentenced a terrorist prisoner to 20 years in prison. Samar Issawi was first sentenced to 26 years for terrorist activity in 2002. He was released in the Shalat deal in October 2011, but was rearrested in December for terrorist activities in 2013. Here's some good news. The PA electric grill is being connected to Egypt for Gaza and Jordan for the West Bank. The move is part of an 8 Arab nation electric company, which frees Israel from having to supply the Palestinian Authority with electricity. So finally, the Palestinians can owe somebody else money. The Vatican recognized the Palestinian Authority as a nation this week. Israel expressed disappointment in the move. And finally, Holland, also known as the Netherlands, cut the pension payments of a 90-year-old Dutch Holocaust survivor because she settled in a town in, quote, the West Jordan Bank, unquote. The Dutch national decided to join her family in Israel because of the increased anti-Semitism across Europe. And that's the news. Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000, or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start. Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Rabbi Eliyahu Kim, and we're talking about astrology today, of all things. How are you today, Eli?
Okay, pretty good. Thank you very much.
Good, good. So you're coming to town, and astrology seems to me, when I saw that the topic of discussion sort of raised some eyebrows in my mind, because I didn't think Jews were supposed to do astrology.
Right. Many are under that impression. After all, the Torah does say that one should not be involved in any form of divination, should not practice any of the practices that the non-Jews at the time and even today were involved in. This tends to take away, to draw the Jew away from his connection with God. But astrology really consists of two parts. One is predictive astrology, and one is the astrology that has to do with human character and personality. And that is the astrology that the rabbis spoke about, and that is the astrology that is discussed at length in the Kabbalah. And that is completely permissible and actually very useful. If people were to be a little bit more familiar with that astrology, they would understand each other a lot better.
Okay, let's explain it. Let's explain the difference. Let's go back up a little bit, if you don't mind. The prohibition of engaging in predictive behavior. Okay, could you explain that?
No. Predictive astrology.
Predictive astrology. Yes.
That is the astrology that has to do with one's fate and destiny. In other words, what kind of a life am I going to have? How long am I going to live? And so forth. What kind of a profession? How well am I going to do? Which days are better for me to embark on a new venture?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty much the timing of events based on what the stars say. And the Torah does not say that this is completely wrong, in the wrong meaning that it's not accurate. There is something to it, otherwise the Torah would not prohibit it outright. It's just that it takes away the Jew from depending or relying on God and turning to Him and praying to Him and believing only in Him. Idolatry, to some degree, began as a result of putting too much emphasis on what the stars say. So that followed with the worship of the stars. And there was always this danger that the Jew may be drawn into that and forget about his connection with God.
Mm-hmm. But it does say that, for example, that the patriarch Abraham was a master astrologer. He knew astrologically that when he was Avram and Sarai, were not going to have any kids, and they didn't.
That's correct. And there you have it from the Midrash that Abraham was an astrologer himself, so he was quite acquainted with the workings of astrology. And what does the Midrash say? God tells him, don't pay attention to that, because I can change your fate and destiny. I can add a letter to your name and to your wife's name, and your mazel will be different, and you will be able to bear children. So that is a very important part of our faith, and we are trained and we are told from early on that one can change his mazel. One can change his mazel for the better through prayer, through repentance, through charity. In other words, it is possible. And if one were to just believe in the stars, one would lose hope if he were to see something that is not good, something that is very difficult for him to overcome, and believing that this is it, that he's stuck. And Judaism says, you're not stuck. There's something called divine providence, Hashgacha Pratis, where by turning to the Almighty, everything is possible. Many people who have been ill, seriously ill, have recovered as a result of prayer, as a result of the blessing of a big tzaddik. So there are many, many stories of how people were able to overcome the limitations of their mazel. So Judaism doesn't want the Jew to put too much emphasis on that aspect of astrology. And certain aspects, therefore, are prohibited. In other words, we should not delve into them. We should not consult with astrologers if it is concerning our mazel. But when it comes to the other aspect of astrology, that which deals with character, traits, personality, temperament, that is a whole different story. That is something that actually we can gain a lot from if we were to know ourselves a lot better and realize that we can overcome certain tendencies or certain weaknesses by study of the Torah, by refining our character. In other words, one is not stuck with a certain character trait or a certain character flaw, but can overcome that. And if you were to identify that, or if you were told what that is, possibly he would be able to get the help he needs to overcome that. And when we're dealing with husband and wife, it becomes even more sensitive. When one is able to detect that a certain characteristic trait is not coming from malice or anything, it's just because that's her or his mazel, that's the way they are, then they are hopefully going to be able to deal with it more professionally. They're going to give them the benefit of the doubt.
Okay, so before we go there, I do want to get into that. So, okay, so now, sure. I never do this because I'm not really into this, but I just went to, I typed in Google and went to my horoscope, okay, at horoscope.com, actually. And is there a prohibition of me checking this? It says, for example, today is meant for socializing and connecting. Your creativity is at an all-time high, so also try to work in some quiet time where you can do some writing or painting. If friends invite you out in the evening, by all means, take them up on the offer. You may meet someone who could be pivotal in your career. Be open to all possibilities. Now, that is so vague, and the person writing this could be such a charlatan. Like, why would I even bother? You know? So is there a prohibition of me checking horoscope.com, Rabbi Kim?
Well, let me first say that the one who's writing it is usually not a charlatan. He's basing his information on certain, influences, astrological influences that may be present at that time or during that day. He's basing it on something. However, it is not an accurate science when all you consider is a month and not an hour. Human beings are not just divided into 12 types. You know, you don't only have 12 types of individuals based on the 12 signs. Every 2 hours, there's a rising sign. There's an astrological sign that one has during the time of his birth, during the hour of his birth. So people are a composite of many, many factors, many influences that contribute to their personality, besides the genes, besides their upbringing. So to give someone a description of what his day will be like or what he is like based just on the month is very inaccurate, and it's a total waste of time. However, some people think it's fun. Some people find some truth to it, and I guess that's what they're interested in. Judaism discourages this and actually prohibits certain parts of it, not only because it's not accurate and that you can't really rely on it, it's simply not a good idea to base your actions or to guide your life based on what the stars say and not what the Torah says. You know, we have a different kind of relationship with God. And even though the stars were put into place for a certain reason, it is not for us to use or to base our lives on. So I would very much discourage the horoscopes. Horoscopes would be an example of that which Jews are not involved in.
Okay, simply because it's nothing.
It's not accurate, and it's not really that which is permissible for us to engage in. It has more to do with something called horary astrology, which is one of the branches of astrology that is more to do with the timing of events and how the day will be like and how the months will be like. Nothing to do with one's personality. My focus is more on human beings as they are based on the moment of birth, their personality and their individuality, their mission in life, as the sign, as the astrological sign indicates.
Okay, now, not that you and I have ever done this, but a standard cliche and probably often doesn't work pickup line is, what's your sign? So here it is. You're talking about like a behavioral astrology. And I might be very up on this type of things. And I know that because of the way that I was born in this, the mazel that I have, that I'd be more inclined to be married to somebody who's a sign X. And this person tells me their sign Y. And at first glance, I'm thinking this is a real nice person, but am I going to walk away because this person's a Y, not an X?
No. As I said earlier, human beings are much more complex than just their sun sign. You know, we're dealing with the hour of birth, which is very important. We're dealing with upbringing, education. There's a lot of factors that make the individual, and it's not just a sign. And when you're talking about marriage is unique because we're talking about soulmates. We're talking about two people coming together because God chose for them to come together, regardless of how compatible their signs are. So it would not be fair, it would not be a good idea to just walk away from an individual if you're contemplating marriage just because of their sun sign. I would argue that there's a good chance that you may find some degree of affinity or compatibility with almost anyone. As long as the individual is a decent human being, you can get along with almost anyone. The question is how much glue there is, how much physical attraction, and how much chemistry will there be? How easy will the communication be between the two? That is a factor of the astrology. And that you can only know with time. As you get to know each other, you can see how those areas operate. In other words, is the communication good? Is the chemistry there? Is there physical attraction? I think you can tell after one or two dates. So there are certain things you can tell right away, other things that you just simply have to wait. So when it comes to marriage, Judaism puts an emphasis on leave it to God. You know, you will know somehow if this is meant for you or not. And don't judge the individual based on their sun sign. However, I don't want to minimize the sun sign. I do want to say that when it comes to choosing a partner or an employee, the sun sign may tell you quite a bit about this individual and may give you some idea as to what their goals are. But whether they will be successful or not in what they do, that is too difficult to determine just based on the sun sign.
Okay. So if you're just joining us, our guest today is Rabbi Eliyahu Kim from Los Angeles, and we're talking about astrology and Judaism. So it seems like what we're talking, the more we're talking, we're seeing is we're narrowing down our focus as to what benefit being up on what you would refer to as proper behavioral astrology may be used for. Because let's say, for example, I was born in late August in Elul, and I am therefore a Virgo, and Virgos, I am told, have certain personality traits, but I decided I don't want to have those personality traits anymore and worked on myself and no longer have them. I'm just saying, for instance. So what kind of credulity then can we give, Rabbi Kim, to astrology?
Let me just say that the Gaon of Vilna, the great sage of Vilna, who lived over 200 years ago, said that the character that you're born with remains with you for the rest of your life. You cannot uproot it. You cannot eradicate it completely. What you can do is control it. What you can do is subdue it. But it's there. It will always be there, and it can always flare up. That's the way it is. I mean, human character is such that you were born with it, and it's part of you. It's not something that you could say, I don't want to be. You can learn to refine certain characteristics. People who are, for example, miserly by nature, they can learn to be more charitable. As the famous saying goes, that our habits can become potentially our second nature. So if we form positive habits, then we can gain control over that nature that we dislike about ourselves, or that which is not acceptable. We can learn to be more tolerable of people who are different than us. You see what I mean? So it is possible to train oneself to be somewhat different than what he has been. But it's not easy, but it's possible. But all it will do is train. Then there is the age as we age, as we grow older, we also calm down. And all those vicissitudes, all those characteristics, all those inclinations that we may have had in our youth, perhaps, I wouldn't say die down, but become more dormant and not as pronounced in our later age. So people do change as a result of age, and people can change if they choose to control their character, if they choose to refine themselves. And that's what the Torah does. The Torah guides us. The Torah teaches us how to be better people. The human being, when he's born, he's half animal. I mean, that's a fact. And we all have some weaknesses. And part of our mission as Jews is to refine our characters, to be better people, to be kinder towards each other. The Torah is a map on how to accomplish that. Unfortunately, not everybody lives their life by this map, even though they believe in it, even though they have accepted it, because it's a struggle. To change a habit, to change your nature is not easy. But if you realize how important it is to have a good name, how marriage is really a priority in one's life, then hopefully you will do something about it. If that is what's standing in the way to a good relationship, is a characteristic flaw. Nobody can say they're perfect. We're not angels. The angels are perfect. As human beings, we do have tendencies. We have weaknesses. We have biases. We have preferences. And if we're going to be selfish, then we're not going to get along with certain people. If we're going to be unselfish, then you can pretty much get along with any sign of the zodiac. However, there are some that you will have it easier getting along with than others.
Oh, so I can still use the pickup line then, you're saying?
What is that?
I can still use the pickup line. What's your sign, miss?
Yeah, you can always do that out of curiosity, and you will be amazed. I mean, I have done studies for many, many years, and many have researched this and have seen that there is a certain preference. We do have a certain preference to be friends with certain signs that are more compatible with us. But there are exceptions, and the exceptions have a lot to do with the hour of birth. So is it 70% of the time or 75% of the time that the signs are usually very indicative of who can get along? I would say that's pretty good. I would say that's a pretty accurate statistic based on my experience, because in the end, you do need to account for the hour if you want to be more accurate about it. But there's no getting away from it. It is a fact that certain people will feel more attracted and just feel better in the company of others. And that usually has to do with the sign, not so much their profession or background.
Okay. Now, I seem to recall, I don't remember the name of the author, it must have been maybe 10, 15 years ago, coming across a book, which was, it was a Jewish book, and it had, like, all the basic personality traits of based on all the astrologies, and then went through what it would be like to put the two together. So it had like 144 different profiles of what would be, I think it was even more, I think it was actually doubled, because it was what if the man was a Virgo or the woman was a Virgo, this type of thing.
Right.
It's like indifferences there. And I just kind of laughed at it. But are you familiar with such works, Rabbi Ken?
Oh, sure. I've read many books in many languages. And all I can tell you is that there are very few books out there that really do justice to this topic. Those who have authored the book are not always very knowledgeable in this particular discipline called astrology. They may know something. They may have read. They may have compiled information and gathered bits and pieces from everywhere. Ultimately, it's a lot more than just putting together information from various sources. It requires a tremendous amount of research into the human nature and into Judaic sources, the Kabbalah and the like, as to what the human being is all about. It would not be right to just limit him to the month he was born in. And what happens when these books do that is they fail to describe accurately the individual. Very simply, people will be discouraged from reading on. People will ridicule it. People will find fault with it. It will criticize it as a result of a lack of professionalism. A good astrologer will tell you in the introduction that this is just a general description of what a Virgo, in your example, is all about. And if you ask Virgos, do you fit these characteristics? Is this pretty much like you? And I believe that you will find, if it's a well-written book, and there are not too many well-written books, but if it's a well-written book that describes a sign thoroughly, I think 80% or more of Virgos will say, yes, most of this is me, but not all of it. So I think describing an individual is somewhat easier than telling this particular individual who he's compatible with. Because if you take two Virgos, they can be very, very, very different. You can take twins, and they're supposed to be very much the same. And you wonder, well, wait a minute. Here's the best proof that there's no truth to this. They're twins, only minutes apart. And many non-Jewish astrologers have a problem with this. They cannot figure out where lies the difference between the two kids who are supposed to be very, very similar. And the answer to this is provided in Judaism. Judaism talks about the soul, about the mission of the soul, about the reincarnation of the soul, about past lives. That is a whole different dynamics here that contributes to how one is going to live his life and how he will conduct himself. And it's not only going to be the sign. So it's much more complex than what they make it sound like. You know, they toy around with astrology as though, oh, let's figure out, you know, if we're compatible or not. What's your sign and what's my sign? It's much more complex than that. And because of that, many people read and they don't get to really become familiar with this science because they're lacking a lot more information that is not available in the book they're reading. And it's a shame because it's so special. I think it's a very, very special science, if we may call it that. And a lot of it has been forgotten, lost over the ages. And because of that, the skeptics love to point out, you see, you know, this guy is supposed to be a Virgo and nothing fits him. And you see, the astrologer was wrong in predicting what he predicted. It's not really completely fair to say that because a lot of the knowledge was forgotten. And just because something is forgotten doesn't mean it's not true. It means that it may not be as accurate as it used to be because we don't know as much as the astrologers in the past knew. Or we're not aware of other factors that contribute to molding the personality. So that is why some astrologers are better than others. You know, they're not only more knowledgeable, but they have access to other sources of information that is not related to astrology.
Okay, so when I was growing up, my family was into astrology a bit, and
astrology of what?
They were into astrology a bit, not a whole lot.
Oh, yes.
A bit. I mean, and my mother did go to have her personality worked up by some astrologer someplace, and
right?
Therefore, had us all worked up somehow. And every once in a while, something would happen among my siblings. I'm one of seven. And I am the next to youngest, and therefore suffered the brunt of the wheelings and dealings of my older siblings. And when I would object, the response would be, oh, that's just Heshy being a Virgo. So to me, it sounded demeaning and not really taking into account the situation. But can a person, if someone's getting on your nerves, can you just kind of like say, I really shouldn't let this person get on my nerves because they're just acting like a Gemini?
Yes. I actually do that all the time myself. You know what? It's easier. It's easier to do that because in this way we're not blaming the person directly. We're blaming certain characteristics that he's struggling with, that he has to contend with in life, that he has to overcome. That's his challenge, his personal challenge. Is being a Virgo generally means that you are a perfectionist. And when you are a perfectionist, you are demanding of yourself and of others. Demanding of others means you're going to be critical of them. It means you're going to find fault in them. It means that you may come across as antagonistic sometimes. And all kinds of qualities that go along with being critical and trying to find that which needs to be repaired. You know, you could be very analytical as a result of that. Now, how sharp and how analytical and how critical, it's like a knob. Imagine a knob on a speaker or on a mixer. You can raise the volume, you can lower the volume, you can adjust it. Some are more and some are less. But the vast majority of Virgos are going to have this in common, that they're going to be more critical than your average, say, Pisces, for example, who may be critical for other reasons, you know, but not because they're trying to perfect something. You know, you can have a nag, one who complains, or as we call him in Yiddish, a kvetcher, you know, so he's criticizing, he's complaining, but it's coming from a different source. You can have two people who are charitable. One is doing it because he's compassionate. He feels bad about the poor individual. And one who has a golden heart, who believes in principle, the wealthy should help the poor. So the two of them want to help, but for different reasons. So criticism is not only the domain of the Virgo. So it wouldn't be 100% correct to say, oh, it's only because he's a Virgo. There are others who would criticize. There are others who would behave similarly, but not 100% like the Virgo. So only one who's really familiar with the nuances between the various signs can really say that's a Virgo and not a Aquarian. Or, you know, because Aquarians can also be very critical of situations and people, but from a different perspective. So I think it's okay to do that as long as you point out the positive too. Don't always point out the negative in the person, because I think that can have the opposite effect. We want to rebuke, we want to tell someone that he's wrong, and then we should definitely point out his good qualities as well and say, you know, this is not befitting of you to do.
Okay.
You know, it behooves you to do better than that. Don't be as critical, even though you're a Virgo.
Stop being such a Virgo and act better. Okay, fine. Good. That's going to have to do it for us. We're out of time for this segment. Okay, Rabbi Eli Kim is going to be in town on the 19th of May, 7:30, the Artistry of Soul Through Astrology. That's at the Birmingham Library. And then the next day, doing a lunch and learn is going to be, the details are, it's reincarnation, its very existence and its meaning. That's another topic. That's Wednesday, May 20th at 12 p.m. Oh, that's at the Baldwin Library, excuse me. There's a $15 charge. Let me see what the other one is. Hold it, excuse me. I was working from memory. I apologize. And the one 7:30 on Tuesday night is at the Birmingham 8 Theater. Ooh, that's a nice venue. And tickets, if in advance, are $5 at the door. They're 12. And you can go to the Birmingham Bloomfield High Center website. Just type in Birmingham Bloomfield High Center. It'll come up to reserve tickets. And we want to thank you so much, Rabbi Kim, for coming on and enlightening us.
Yeah, and I guess we will see you in Detroit.
Okay. Take care. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Do you or someone you know have an addiction to opiates? Ready to take your life back but don't have the time for a long inpatient program? MDS Drug Detox is a team of physicians with extensive experience in the field of rapid drug detox under anesthesia. MDS is the nation's only rapid opiate detox under anesthesia facility with the same doctors, RNs, and certified paramedics attending the entire drug detox process. MDS Drug Detox is safe and effective. Their goal is to provide the best, the safest, and the most economical way to free you from your addiction. MDS uses the highest standards of care and the best FDA-approved medications. MDS Drug Detox understands what your concerns are. Make the call today, 888-637-6968, or go online to www.mdsdrugdetox.com. That's 888-637-6968, MDS Drug Detox. Hey, Schulfeldman, hey, listening to the Jewish Hour. We get up now. For your listening pleasure, this is Yeshiva Boys Choir and their famous a cappella piece called Amen, which is just means Amen. Assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale. Hey, Schulfeldman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. We're going to now do a book review, courtesy of Koren Publishers. We received two volumes of the new Koren English edition Talmud, Ketubos Base, the second volume of Ketubos, which finishes off Ketubos 1, obviously, duh. And Nedarim, for those people who are learning a page of Talmud a week, we'll be studying Nedarim coming up very soon. The end of Ketubos is probably one of the hardest parts, the last chapter especially, which deals with all kinds of vows and things like this, and how to deal with vows is very complicated. And I am very impressed with the way in which the Koren Talmud approaches it and presents it. And then Nedarim is one of my favorite books of the Talmud. I'm just into it. I just have like everybody's got like certain things that they're naturally inclined towards, and so the tractate of Nadorim I've actually learned and taught several times, and I'm hoping that my students don't read this because I don't think they're going to need me to teach it to them anymore because it really is that good. So go to KorenPub, KorenPub.com, and take a look. This is already. They're up to volume 18 already with the Nadarim, and it's 18 out of 43, and they said they'll hope to get it done within a four-year period. It's been more than a year. It's been 2 years already now, so they got a lot of work if they want to get it done within 4 years. But they are keeping ahead of the seven-year cycle, so it's probably more likely it'll be done in six. And you can do it like the Book of the Month Club and sign up for it now, KorenPub.com. And you can even say that you heard about it on the Jewish Hour. We've got some public service announcements. There's a parent workshop called Safety Kid. Sunday, May 17th, that's today, at Dovin Ben Nachum in Oak Park. Mrs. Debbie Fox, who's an LCSW founder and director of Magen Yeladim International Child Safety Institute. And on Monday, it will be Rabbi Yitzchak Schechter, who is a psychologist, director of the Center of Applied Psychology at Bickerholm, and Muncie, executive director of the Institute of Applied Research and Community Collaborations. And that's also at David Benachem at 8 p.m., either one or both. Kid safety, keeping your kids safe in today's world. And you'll want to check that out. And for further information, go to magenyeladim.com. And you can spell that any way you like. Another one. We did this before, and we're going to do this one again over here. Second Chance at Life, Partners in Care and Renewal announces a kidney donation education event. There is a date change, Sunday, May the 31st, 3 to 5 p.m. at the Oak Park JCC on 10 Mile. RSVP or more information to 248-JUDAISM. There you go. There's a phone number for you, 248-JUDAISM. And they'll talk about kidney donation and Judaism. Maybe we might even deal with them. We might even have them on the show in 2 weeks. Okay, your organization having an event? Send it to me on rabbifinman.com, and we'll post it right here, free of charge. Coming up for your listening pleasure, we have, this is a.k.a. Pella, Ma Tomer. Let's listen in.
Israel, they love them. art studio of Oak Park is now accepting students. Whether you're a real beginner or have been at it for a lifetime, the art studio of Oak Park has something for you. All levels welcome, all ages welcome. Private tutoring or small friendly classes. Flexible hours available. The art studio of Oak Park is very affordable. Make your life better. Put art into your life. The art studio of Oak Park offers lessons in a strictly kosher environment. Call today, 248-542-5087. That's 248-542-5087. It's great having an art room right in the neighborhood.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Hey, Shul Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. This coming week is the portion of Bamidbar. It's the beginning of the book of Numbers, Numbers 1-1. That's on Saturday, Shabbos. Saturday night isn't Saturday night this week. Saturday night is begins the holiday of Shavuos. It is the commemoration of the Sinaitic Revelation. Some people call it the Feast of the Pentecost. Which Pentecost, I think, means the revelation of the five books, penta meaning five. And I'm not sure what the Greek suffix cost means. It's all Greek to me. And we could say that Shavuos is really the most important holiday because were it not for the giving of the Torah, well, what other holidays would we have? Hello? Interesting thing, Shabbos is very important. Shabbos is a Shabbos in and of itself, such that when we are celebrating Shabbos, we are forbidden from even thinking about our upcoming week. Now, given that, put that little piece of information on the side. There's another piece of information. The day before a holiday, which is known as Erev Yontif, which would be the day before before the holiday, is a very important day because that's the day that we're supposed to be preparing for the holiday. So now we have an inherent contradiction because on one hand, we're supposed to be preparing for the holiday the day before, but on the other hand, it's Shabbos and you can't prepare anything for after Shabbos on Shabbos. So what are you supposed to do? How are you supposed to do it then? Well, obviously, when it comes to the physical preparations, those things that need to be done are going to have to be done beforehand. Like, I don't think anybody's going to be baking a cheesecake, which is people eat cheesecake on Sunday morning. So they would want to have that done beforehand. And so when will they bake it? Well, you know, Thursday, Friday. Cheesecake lasts a couple of days in the fridge, yeah. Not, except in my house, it doesn't last more than an hour before it's gone. So the preparation then becomes a spiritual preparation, meaning that we're going to use this Shabbos, this upcoming Shabbos, when we're reading about the Jews being counted, which the reason why the Jews were counted by the Almighty was not to know how many Jews there were. He knew how many Jews there were. God knows, as expression goes. But to give the Jewish people the significance required, because what is it that you count? I could ask you how much money you have in your wallet. And there's a good chance you're going to know. And I could ask you how many children you have, and I surely hope that you know. But if I ask you how much trash is in your garbage can, unless you're neurotic, you're probably not going to know. Why? Because the money that you have and the children that you've begot are important, whereas the trash is not. So here, the Jewish people are counted always the week before Shavuos to show we have significance, we have importance. Something which is counted doesn't get lost. It's always there. You're always ready to count it. And that is why we read the portion of Bamidbar before the holiday of Shavuos, because this Shavuos is a commemoration of us receiving the Torah. But it's not just a commemoration. We do receive it anew, like we did then. And we have to be prepared. So people have to go to the synagogue Sunday morning to hear the reading of the Ten Commandments, on Monday morning to say Yizkor, to remember our departed ones, to eat dairy meal on Sunday, sometime during the morning time period, and to have a very good Yontif. We got to take a quick commercial break. We're running out of time really quick. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Spex Howard from the Spex Howard School of Broadcast Arts. We're happy to sponsor The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding for The Jewish Hour comes from its sponsors, it's listeners like you that help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. That's 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. Your help is greatly appreciated.
Hey, Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? The easiest way, go to my website, rabbifinman.com. Right there on the homepage, you can contact me. You'll also find archived editions of the radio show posted sometime by Sunday afternoon. There's also archived editions of the E-Parsha, U-Parsha, Hasidic U-Story, which are other media of yours, presented by yours truly in a hopefully an entertaining and educational way of insights into Judaism. Classes, I have one specific class that I have been recording and posting to the website. That's up there. It's been going on since 2009. It's a pretty awesome class. I mean, from the feedback that I've been getting, some people are really, really amazing commentaries. And there's also the donation page. Guess what? Thank you, thank you. We have paid off in this month so far, March and April. Now all we have to do is pay May. That sounds cool, pay May. Anyway, we have to pay the station, pay the piper. It costs. This radio show costs money. And it costs a lot of money, believe it or not. Airtime is not cheap. But for 19 years, we've relied on people like you to come through and make sure that the piper gets paid. In this case, the wonderful people here at Salem Communications. So go to rabbifinman.com, go to the donations page, click on the number you'd like to donate, write your own number, it doesn't matter. It all goes through PayPal. If you have a PayPal account, the whole transaction takes less than 30 seconds. If you have to put in your credit card, it'll take you another minute, so it'll be a minute and a half. It'll be great. Don't like using internet for donations? Fine. It's okay. Send your donation of any amount to The Jewish Hour, 14,000 West 9 Mile Road, Oak Park, Michigan, 48237. And believe me, I am just as thrilled when I get a $5 donation from somebody who I know who's on a limited income as I do when I get a $150 donation from somebody who's on the other side of the world listening on rabbifinman.com. So it's all good. Whatever you send, it's great. And if everybody listening would send me $5 a month, I wouldn't have to do this. So $5 is also good. Listen, you know, that's the way it goes. Quickly, the first day of Shavuos marks the passing of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. It says the Baal Shem Tov knew that when he was going to be passing away. After the holiday of Shavuos that year, he became sick, and his condition went downhill from there. And he got progressively worse until finally, before Shavuos, he was confined to bed. On the eve of Shavuos, he was in bed and his attendant was there and he said, don't torture me. I have at least 2 hours left. And the attendant said, who are you talking to? And he said, I'm talking to the angel of death. Don't you see him there? He says, up until now, I've been able to hold him at bay, but now he's laughing at me. And during that day, the Baal Shem Tov would ask for various things, and he wouldn't get it. He asked for example, a large glass of mead, and he got a L'chaim cup, just a shot of mead. And he says, I have no power over my own destiny. I see I'm not long for this world. And then finally, those around his bed noticed that the clock above his bed stopped. And at that moment, the Baal Shem Tov also stopped breathing. That's going to do it. We want to thank you so much for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. Have an awesome Shavuos. If you're Jewish, we'll see you in 2 weeks. And if you're not Jewish, you can listen next week. We'll be doing Jewish music just for your listening pleasure. Take care.